The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 9 through into chapter 10. The harvest is great, the labourers few. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." The 12 apostles. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. The mission of the 12. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not take a road leading to Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with a skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. This is the word of the Lord.
It's so good to be with you, and I always say this to my family when they ask me, where are you going to preach today, Mum, or tomorrow? Where are you going to preach? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to Mount Kola. First of all, it's like 12 minutes away from me, so the ride is just like heavenly. And then the second is that I always feel so loved when I walk in here. And I say this to Nick, and Nick will always ask me, you know, the people are happy to have you, and I'm so pleased to be here. So you don't realize how much I feel that mutuality with you. So thank you so much for that. Well, let's have a moment of prayer, shall we, before we hear God's word proclaimed. Loving Lord Jesus, you stand amongst us. You stand amongst us, giving us life, giving us hope, giving us a resurrected view of what could be and what is. And Lord, as your word has been read to us, we pray that you who are the word may become afresh and alive in our lives today, that you may help us to be able to refresh our pages of that which makes sense at a time when things can be meaningless. So be present, dear Lord, and speak to us today. In your most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So you know how I like to give you trivia work, right? So I've been giving them a bit of homework, Nick, when I've been here. You will approve. So today is not biblical trivia. I just thought I'd give you some trivia so that when you go and have lunch, when you're sitting over your roast chicken, or if you're going to the club and having your roast of the day, whatever it is, excuse me, you'll be able to talk about this. So apparently we listen to and receive sometimes 100 messages a day. And we are very great at screen communication, but we're really bad at one-on-one communication. Now you're going to tell me, Poonam, we know all of this anyway. So this is just my trivia for the day, so don't take it too deeply, right? But apparently someone said that we can hear only 225 words per minute, okay? So somehow, when we hear about 500 words, out of 500 words, 275 are lost. So what I'm saying is that you've heard the word of God read, and if I asked you, and I'm sincerely asking you, so I know that you're awake right now when I'm speaking to you, When we heard our, who read our scripture to us today? What's your name again, Ramai? Diane, that's right. You're the fashionista, aren't you? Yes, I know that. I know that. We've had a good chat over fashion one day. Diane read that to us beautifully. Is there anything that struck you when you were hearing that? The gospel read. I mean, there's been a lot of words we've heard today. Prayers, songs, beautiful hymns. Is there any word that's just stood out for you today or woke you up or put you to slumber? Think about that. Just park it in your heart for a moment and let's look at what today is all about. I always say this to you when you leave today, make sure after you've had your lunch and maybe you've had a, who has a lazy boy chair at home and they have a snooze on Sunday afternoon. No one's going to fess up. That's fine. Okay, I have a sofa that I lay down on. After that, when the evening comes, take your Bible out, open the Gospel of Matthew, and read the chapter today, Matthew 9, 35 onwards to 10, something or the other it was. And I always say, make sure you read back, so go backward. And last time I was here, I spoke a little bit about it, but I spoke from the Gospel of John. But I spoke about how important it is, and I'm sure all the preachers that are with you say this, as does Rebnik, is it's a whole, like we'd be here till playgroup Monday, right? If we were going to look at the whole message of what today brings to us. So we go back and we look at the Gospel of Matthew, which is the first gospel in the New Testament, but it's not in that sense written. And we know that Matthew had an early Jewish Christian audience. And we also know that even though his name, Matthew, is named after who? Tell me, who was Matthew? Come on, people, you need to talk to me, you know that. I can't do this on my own. So Matthew was one of the who? One of the disciples. And what was his profession? Tax collector. So even though this particular gospel is named after Matthew, the tax collector, it's actually not attributed to him. Because even though there are hints of Aramaic, which is the language Jesus spoke, and Hebrew, which was the language and is the language of Judaism, the Gospel of Matthew in its entirety was written in Greek. And Matthew, the Matthew who wrote the Gospel of Matthew, may not have been a Matthew after all. So now that you're really confused about it, we'll keep moving on, okay? So he was a scribe. But I'm just letting you know what, and you already know about this, so it's just good to know some of the facts. I also found a really good trivia, biblical trivia, and that was that the word, the Greek word church, which is ecclesia, in the Gospel of Matthew, is only in this gospel in a way where the church is used in relation to the authority of Peter. What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, on you I will, you are my rock on which I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it, or Hades. That's what, how we sugarcoat it in the Greek. So the authority of Peter and also the assembled group, church or ecclesia. So let's look at what this is. So this particular chapter is the end of a collection of healings. So what was the longest sermon of Jesus known as? The Sermon on the Mount. It's from chapter 5 to chapter 7. That's a mighty long sermon. I am not going to preach that kind of a sermon today, right? We go forward from 7 when Jesus comes down the mountain and Jesus begins his ministry of, it's an H word, healing. Healing ministry. He meets lepers. He calms the seas. Remember with me, what are the many, many healings in the last chapter, just before this chapter, and I preached on it last week. He heals a daughter who's dead of a religious leader, okay? And he goes to the home and she's like dead or dead. And he raises her from the dead. There's a woman who reaches to him in the crowd, and she touches the hem of his garment and gets healed. So there's healing upon healing upon healing, in the midst of which Matthew puts the calling of the disciples, the naming, and Diane, you did that beautifully. I almost was going to tell everybody that you're going to get a test on that, on who the disciples are, but no, I'm kidding. I need to get serious. So the healings in this particular passage, can we just move forward to, Oh, I need to go to this as well. So, but let's forward one more. Okay, now that's an AI-generated image. I made sure that I put where it's attributed to. I have no idea who these people are, pixabay.com, but what I know is that I saw this compassionate Savior. And that is what's at the center of what we have to talk about today. That's a weirdly interesting one, isn't it? And I think the fluffs that are coming out of Jesus is the compassion. And the Greek word today about when Jesus sees the crowds, the compassion of Jesus is, forgive me for saying this, is a bowel and a gut feeling. Do you know how sometimes when we've been looking at the images of the war and such, right? Of children suffering, of the displacement, wherever it is that you sit politically, at this point doesn't matter because we're in church, is whenever we see suffering, it could be right here, okay, where we see suffering, right here in our back and front yard, is sometimes you get a gut feeling. When your child is going through a difficulty, when your spouse or your loved one or your parent is going through something, that gut feeling, now I'm going to sound clever, right, is this Greek word called splankna, which is the gut. Jesus felt that gut movement from which emitted this compassion. And the compassion is what drove, but drove is not the word, moved his healing, moved him to reach out, moved him to touch and heal. And even without touching, bring healing through his words, through his presence, through his connection. Moving back to the slide, please. Thank you. Thanks, you guys. You're superheroes for me doing that. I just need to go back to my chapter, which I had right here. Okay. So at the end of this, okay, we look at the compassion of Jesus leading him to this call of mission. And this particular verse, which says, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. How many of you have prayed this prayer when you're thinking about a committee or a new project, something happening, and saying, the Lord will send us? And even when we are going through this 3P Presbytery movement and change, everybody's freaking out, like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I said, since when did we start worrying about what's going to happen to the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because it has stood the test of time. God sends people because God is faithful. I'll give you an example. Like 20-some years ago, I was working as a chaplain at MLC school. And I remember when I started, it was 2003. I had just come out of a congregation, had no idea of what a school system was, let alone a private school system. Had no idea in Australia what was going to happen. Walked in there, and the first 2 weeks after which I felt depressed. I felt the gut feeling, but it was a gut feeling of loss. It wasn't really compassion moving within me. Because the question I kept asking the Lord was, Jesus, where are you? I can't see you. And I had a chat with one of the teachers from junior school, and they said, oh, we've been trying to start a lunchtime group for years, but there's no one here to help. No one's going to start it. And so I said, okay, let's start praying about it, but let's do something too. And so we, between us, started a lunchtime group. Started with, but similar to scripture experience you have, Nick, and others who teach scripture, is slowly the kids started coming. Last year I did the christening for one of those kids' babies, all the way at Wyoming Church, right? Where does this prayer lead us today? I need to go to my notes. It's very interesting that the Lord of the harvest empowers them. Can we go back to our reading? Can we just go back to the reading, please? Thanks. But this is the part that I don't want to miss out. Okay, so just going back, there was a section before this, so this is the start. Okay, there you go. Even before you're there. Thank you. So here you go. You've got the preaching happening and all of this. He sees the crowds. He's got the compassion. I touched on that. And after the compassion, well, there's something very important, like sheep without a shepherd, right? And when I was with you last time, which was in May, was it? We did the I am statements. You can't remember, but you do, some of you. Okay, there you go. And one of the I am statements from the Gospel of John is, I am the good what? I am the good shepherd. From all the images of the Old Testament to the New Testament, we've got the good shepherd with us, okay? And here is Jesus as our good shepherd looking upon the crowds and seeing them as sheep without a shepherd. And that is when it leads him to saying to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Forward on. Then he summons his 12 disciples, right? And gives them authority over unclean spirits. Now, this is really interesting. He gives them authority to heal. I was reading a commentary that says he gives them authority to heal, doesn't give them authority as yet to teach. It's really interesting. That's some of the trivia you can take with you. And then, of course, the names of the 12 apostles. And someone I read said, go back, please. Thank you. Thank you. When we start praying for the laborers and asking the Lord of the harvest, send us laborers into his harvest, he's actually sending us as answers to our own prayer. We are the laborers of the harvest. Because right after that, forwarding it on, thank you. They're here, being given authority to bring the ministry of healing, which is the news of the kingdom of God coming close to us on earth as it is in heaven. What do we have to think about that in our own time? How is it that we who pray for particular initiatives that we want to do? Maka read all the stuff that's happening, right? And I'm sure there are people who run those things, right? And some of you may be tired. You know, I don't have to ask you to raise your hands to say, am I tired of just, you know, I'm just tired. I wish someone else could run this group for once. But the energy that is given to us is given by the Lord because it is the Lord's harvest. Note that the gospel does not say to us that we are going to sow these seeds. The seeds have been sown by others. But the harvest is there. The harvest is there for us to harvest. And it is wearisome. And it is tiring. But that is not the burden of the gospel or the good news of Jesus. It is the gift that we have. It is the gift that you and I have when every time we step out of this space, right? Wherever it is that God leads us through our work, through our engagement, through our community engagements and things, through the playgroup, through the parents who come, through the children who are with us, through the young people who are leading us, through the old people and older people who are leading us, through everybody who's with us, right? Equipping us and empowering us. Because that is what, if we go forward, it'll tell us. Then he gives us all direction, gives them the direction, right? And what he says is, the kingdom of heaven has come near. What's the kingdom of heaven? Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleansed those with a skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment, because the gospel of Jesus is free. The love of God costs nothing. Nothing. And yet is everything, right? I'll give you a simple story, and then I'll close slowly. I have so much. Last night I was scribbling away, and half of the stuff, you know this, we never end up preaching. Half of the stuff I want to give you is like a lecture, but it'll bore you. I was at MLC, and if I've shared this story before you, please forgive me. Did I share the story about the refugee lady? You don't remember, so it's okay, isn't it? I'll remind you. It's a good story, because a story that brought me to my knees. Because sometimes, and this is the writing of the Gospel of Matthew too, they say that he wrote to the early Jewish Christians because he labeled the religious leaders, the Pharisees, as kind of not the bad guys, but kind of, right? Because they were so full of religiosity and superiority. I think sometimes those of us who are in religious duty can have that spiritual arrogance, and I have had that at times too, for which I've had to be humbled by God. So this particular instance, there was this woman from Pakistan. She had moved to Australia years ago, and there had been domestic violence situation in the family, and she had been given a refugee status. She was working her butt off, you know, just working, had three boys, single mom, and one of the teachers at the school said, "Poonam, do you think you'd appreciate someone's cooking so you could, you know, pay her some money?" Long story short, she started cooking, but she used to live all the way in Liverpool area, Karma, right? I would have to drive sometimes after school in the traffic. So listen to me martyring myself right now, telling you how wonderful I am. So just listen, if you listen to the story, you listen to my religiosity coming through this as well. And I ask God for forgiveness for this. But I would think that I was such a wonderful, you know, follower of Jesus, okay? A disciple of Jesus. And so I'd drive there, I'd order food from her, I'd give her money, and I just thought, you know, this is great. I'm feeling good about myself. I've done my bit. I've done my good deed of the day. Done it all. Months passed by. Kept doing this occasionally here, there, and everywhere. One day, I was in my office, and I'd always tell the receptionist, if anyone comes, call me first, because I don't want to see them unless, you know, I have the time, blah, blah, blah. And so she calls me, and she says, there's a woman here. Pramila is here. She wants to see you. And I was really upset. I'm like, oh no, I don't have any cash on me. What am I going to do? I didn't order any food from her. I'm going to have to go to the ATM, get some money out for her, and give her some money, you know? I was really, really upset. And then I said, okay, let me just see her. Let me see what she's... Anyway, she comes in, sits with me, and she says, I brought you food. I said, I'm so sorry, Brahma. I don't have any money today. I'm going to have to go to the ATM and get you. She says, no. I just came to see you today. I just wanted to see how you were. And in that moment, I realized that I was leaning into my own strength to do the ministry that God has called me to do, or just be a Christian. Forget about the ministry, just be a Christian. And after she left, I wept. I wept to the Lord and I said, forgive me. Forgive me because I've forgotten that I, quite like the disciples, have been given a mission, okay? I know that the harvest is plenty, and I know I'm aware that the laborers are few, but I am not counting myself as a laborer these days. And that's what I need to do. And I leaned back. That's a story that comes back to me, haunts me in moments when I ever think of spiritual arrogance. It brings me right down to the humility of Jesus. And so I'd like to make us ever aware that it's us when we're praying for more people, when we're tired, take a break, take a sick day. Go to Europe and everywhere else, right? Just do that. The other thing I needed to share with you is a trivia, and I never stuck to any of this. The trivia is, that apparently when Jesus speaks to the 12, the gospel that comes to us, we also are included in that, because the audience 70 years later, when this gospel apparently was alive and well in oral tradition, the bishops of that time in the ancient church were quoting Matthew about the mission of the 12 and saying to the church that you are like the 12 disciples. Only when you go on the mission will you be the apostles, because the apostles are the one who are sent out. They are sent out into the world and into our little worlds as well. I need to shut up now because I'm speaking too much. So I need to close now, and I need to close with that. And just one thing, because at 3 a.m. in the morning, I got up and Jesus gave me a Bible verse for you. So I had to write this out. So in the middle of the night, I told you, I got up and I couldn't go back to sleep. And it was 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The battle is always the Lord's people, and it's God who gives us the armor, the strength, and the equipping. Mount Kola, you've been such a delight, and it's been such a joy to always worship and witness with you. May God continue to strengthen your hands. In the words of Teresa of Avila, can we go forward to my... Christ has no body but yours, no hands or feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Thank you for listening so beautifully. And I have said to Nick today, which I don't have to say because he's your minister, it would be nice when we come to the end of the service, whether Nick, you could offer the blessing to once again bring your ministry and love and all the stories, no doubt, that you will from your trips. God bless you. God bless you all.